Let's open up the Word of God to John 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And this is a sermon that originally began to, it was going to cover John 3, 1 through 21, the whole conversation of Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. And then the more and more I dug into it, it became into several parts, including up until this morning. It's going through kind of about half of the sermon out. And some of you are like, yes. But that just took an 80-minute sermon and made it into a 40-minute sermon, so don't get too excited yet. Or get excited, because I guarantee you it will always be the Word of God. It will always be the Word of God. Let us pray before we read. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray there would be a burning in our soul for the things of you, for the things of your Word. May it not just be read here. Lord, may it penetrate our hearts. Lord, may your desires be planted into our hearts, Lord, and your desires become our desires. And may the truth of your word, Lord, may it penetrate our souls. May it change our lives. Lord, may there be restoration in us and those in whom we can influence. Lord, you are our God, and we are your people. And I pray, Lord, that you would transform us, Lord, into glory, to glory, to glory, more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may our light shine brighter. Lord, may our salt be saltier, and may we truly change the world from what you are doing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, we're in John 3 today. If you're a guest with us, we're going through the Gospels and studying about Jesus Christ and his teachings, his examples, his influences, his life, for the sole purpose that we can know him more, and then we can go and tell other people about him also. This morning, again, we'll read first, and then I'll describe some of the things. We're about to enter into a conversation that he's having with a man named Nicodemus, and who is a Pharisee, as we'll see here in just a moment. In John 3, verses 1 through 8, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?' And Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So here we see this first part of this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Again, he's a religious leader. He's a leader of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. And he comes, and we see that he's coming at night because it is a risk for him to be there. And we see him asking these questions, and it is believed, well, we know from some things I'll just tell you in just a minute, that he was truly seeking the truth about Jesus Christ. You see where he said that, of course, no one can teach like you do. You come from God because we've seen the things that you have done. We know at the end of John 7 that Nicodemus defends and boldly stands up for Christ. And we do know that after his death that he brought a large quantity of myrrh and aloe mixture to prepare Jesus' death or his body for the burial. And so he was what we would see, and over time became a secret believer. Do we have any secret believers in the room? Or maybe the only people in our lives that know that we are followers of Jesus Christ are those that are within these four walls. This was Nicodemus. He was in between trying to keep the Old Testament covenant and lead the people, and then also come into the realities of, you know, here is this man who is sounds a lot like the Messiah, and who is this guy? And he's really wanting to know more. He says, we know that you are from God. He doesn't clearly ask the question, are you the Messiah? And then Jesus gets in there and he says, but there must be second birth. That blows his mind. Here's this leader, this teacher, and he's talking about, what does it mean to be second born? We can't go back into our mother, can we? Of course not. And Jesus describes that which is first, which is of water, which is of flesh. Whenever you're like, what does that mean? If you've ever been pregnant or known somebody who is pregnant or been a husband of a wife who is pregnant, those words that you hear, oh, I think my water broke. Of water, that's the flesh. And then the second is of spirit. And he uses the word born again. Born again. And that's what we're talking about today. What does that mean to be born again? And first of all, it's important, first of all, because Jesus said it. Jesus talked about it. He taught about this. But it's also important for us to know that 73% of people in our nation would say that they are Christian. They identify as Christian. And this is from a 2016 poll by the Barna Group. But only 35% would say that they are born again. So imagine that. 73% would identify as Christians, but only 35% would say that they are born again Christians. And we could say, well, maybe they didn't know what all that meant. Well, today when we leave here, we will know what that meant. There are... And so born again, it's just, theologically, we use a different word. It is regeneration. And if you know about last week, I mentioned the stages of salvation, where, you know, we come to that place where we have that date that the Holy Spirit pierced our hearts and we got saved. And so we've been saved. And salvation is not just an event on a day. It is a process that begins first with the gospel call or the effective calling that Jesus puts into our lives. And then there's that conversion when we come to a place of faith and there's repentance of sins. And then all of this is happening all at the same time here. Then there is the being born again, or there's the regeneration, that the old is made new, that we become new people. And then there's the justification, where God is looking at us now through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We are no longer guilty because of the blood of Jesus. Then there's the adoption that we find in Romans 8, that we are like Christ. And then there is the sanctification, where the sanctification begins on this day, but it is a lifetime process of becoming more like Jesus Christ. And then there's glorification, which doesn't happen until the day you actually die. And so regeneration, that's this born again that we're talking about here today. And some points to consider from this passage in John 3 is first, if you're taking notes today, if you're taking notes and you're a note taker and you love where I have the statements and you fill in the blank, I apologize, didn't get that in time. And so you're going to either write it all today or I'll give you a copy if you would prefer, if you're a note taker. But being born again, we see here clearly, is the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. We can't just wake up today and say, hey, I'm going to be saved today. And we see in verse 6 specifically where Jesus says, talking about somebody who is born of the Spirit, not born of man, not born from anything of our own decision or our own will. And then verse 8 is clear that when he's talking about the wind here, he's talking about how the Holy Spirit is in control. And in the same way, we can't control the wind, and we can't control the mind of the Spirit. And this is to get this. Humankind is what I'm intending here, the only hope for redemption, or that salvation, is total dependence on the grace and the mercy of the Almighty God. And it's just amazing. The God who, and you've heard this before, the God who has the power to create, he also has the power to save. Amen. And so being born again is the work of the Holy Spirit. And then next we see spiritual rebirth is essential for understanding the things of God. Now you see I have these words in quotes, and I'm using terms that would be synonymous with being born again. And just for understanding and for teaching purposes. But in verse 3, we see specifically, there's Nicodemus, he's asking questions, And then it's almost that maybe Jesus interrupted them here because he never got to the part of, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one to come? And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This word see is not something that we do simply with our eyes. It has to do with our vision. It means to perceive. It means to perceive. And so no one can understand and perceive the things of God unless the Spirit reveals it to them. If you remember Peter's confession of Christ, and I'm sure you've heard the story, you've read the story, and Matthew 16, 15 through 17, write that down, we won't turn to it, where Jesus said to his 12 disciples there, he says, but who do you say that I am? And if you remember Simon Peter, he answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Not like, wow, Simon, you finally get it. Good job, man. You've really been listening. You've been studying. You've been in the Old Testament, and you finally got it. You've heard me. No, he says, blessed are you because flesh and blood, there's no man that could reveal this to you. You couldn't even figure this out on your own, but it's a blessing because my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. And so, and turn with me, if you will. Keep your finger, if you or a pen or whatever you can. And John 3, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians. It's not going to be on the board, so if you want to see it, please turn with me. 2 Corinthians, and this is the only other place that we'll turn to, or at least that I'm planning to turn to. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. You know what? For context, I'm going to back up. I'm going to back up into into chapter 3, verses 18. I'll back up to verse 17. Let's have fun. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking with craftiness or adultering the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What are you saying? Hey, there's been change in our life. We are new creations. We have been born again by the mercies of God. And now the old life, we no longer live, and we are servants of God. And then in verse 3, now is where we wanted to start. And even if our gospel is veiled, that means to be covered, to be blocked. He said, it is veiled to those who are perishing. It says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We see here spiritual rebirth is essential for the understanding of God. There's no way that we cannot understand. Paul even says we are because of what God has done in our life. It is by his mercy, by his grace, by the work of the Spirit in us that we are different. And the fact that we are different just makes us into a bondservant to go and to save other people. We see there specifically, and we'll talk as we go throughout the sermon, that it talked about those where the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. And it says, in whose case the God of this world, who is Satan, has blinded them, the minds of the unbelieving. They cannot get out of this sin, out of this lostness on their own. It is only the work of God and the regeneration ability of the Holy Spirit. But next we see that regeneration is necessary for eternal life. We've used born again, spiritual rebirth, and now regeneration. Words that all are synonyms. In verse 5, going back to John 3, hopefully you kept your finger there, and back to John 3, in verse 5, Jesus responds a second time, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And so here he's saying that there's only one way, and it's the will of God through the work of Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we can enter into the kingdom of God. And that is necessary. It's necessary not only for us to perceive, but it's necessary for us to re-enter that the Holy Spirit works in our life. And all the other things we can't even understand. We can't understand the things of Scripture. We can't understand the Word of God. We can't understand the works of Jesus Christ, as we just read in 2 Corinthians 4, outside of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so we've seen that being born again is the work of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual rebirth is essential for understanding the things of God. And regeneration is necessary for eternal life. And then next we see that salvation is the beginning of kingdom citizenship. And here Jesus talked about here being entering the kingdom of God and the salvation. Friend, when we get to that place of spiritual rebirth, the place of salvation, of being regenerated, we become citizens of the kingdom in that moment. We are the citizens of heaven. And with it come all the rights and all of the... what are some of the rights? Rights would be as children of God. We get to approach him as father, as child, and we have we're in the right relationship with him. Sin no longer divides. We still sin, we still stumble, we still mess up, but now there's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that leads us to confession, that leads us to ask for forgiveness. That brings change. And the other rights, we have the right now to ask, to seek, to knock, to pray to him, to pray about other things, to trust him. And he says there is no more worry. We have those rights, but also with that citizenship comes responsibility in all things. And so where we find it, where it beginning is first to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. We looked at that last week. And then also the scripture says, if you love me, you'll keep my word. That's where our responsibilities begin. So regeneration, being born again, and we see just a glimpse of what it means. If you want more, there are volumes that can be written about this, and we'll talk more as we go through what is beginning to shape up as a series. But the question today, what do we do with this? We've learned about regeneration. We learn about what it means to be born again, spiritual rebirth, and how it must happen in our lives for us to go into heaven. What do we do about this? First, we need to thank God with overwhelming gratitude. Imagine that. Imagine that. Here, what we just read in 2 Corinthians 4, that we were slaves to the enemy, slaves to sin, and there was nothing that we could do to get ourselves out of bondage. And the work of God through Christ and through the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes. The Holy Spirit considered us. He considered you. If you have any understanding of the things of God, it is by grace and mercy and love alone. Oh man, he has set us free. He has set us free, and he has restored us to new life in Christ. You get the salvation, to just put it in a statement, that we are perfect, then we sinned and we are separated from God, and then Jesus Christ has restored us and is restoring us back to himself. Oh, thank God. When is the last time you have thanked God for your salvation? I hope each and every day, if you have yet to do so, that you would begin to put that in your morning. Just simply, good morning, Lord. Thank you, Father, that I know to even greet you. Because of your mercy and your grace and your salvation, you have opened up my heart and mind to you. Lord, lead this. Just start off with that, and I guarantee you will have plenty to pray about. Oh, to be thankful with overwhelming gratitude for what he has done. Next, to be different, because you are different, aren't you? aren't you different, friend? If you have come and you've been born again, you are different. We just looked at Nicodemus, his start. He finished well, praise God, and I pray we all finish well as also. But would your friends say, with the people you work with your neighborhood people, are you more of a Nicodemus who the things of God in your life are more in secret? Are you a secret believer? Are you a secret follower? I mean, what is Jesus? We just read in 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to turn back there. Where it talks about light shall shine out of darkness is the one who is shown in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He has shown light into our dark world. And who does Jesus say is the light of the world? Us believers, his Christians, followers of Christ, the church, we are the light of the world, and he sends us out. Oh, we need to be different because we are different because God has done a work in our lives, and now we've given a testimony. There should be something said when people see you. There's something different about that man or about that woman or about that child. There's something different about them. And what is different is not because of what they've learned, because of what they've done, what they've achieved, what their bank account looks like, what they wear, what they look like. It is because of the Holy Spirit has shined the light in their life and has illuminated them. And we're living in such a way where somebody says, there's something about that person. And I was reading just this morning, as a matter of fact, I got a John Maxwell thing. And if you know, he's like in the leadership and he's a Christian and writes from a biblical point of view. And he wrote, he says, the cream will always rise to the top. I'm saying the light will always shine in the darkness. Always. There is no dark that is dark enough to withhold the light, to push the light back. And so we see we're going to be different. We're going to, I'll just move on. Next, we thank God for overwhelming gratitude. We're going to be different. We're going to seek the Spirit's work in you. Friend, if we're a follower of Christ and we've come to this place where we have been reborn again, that means that we have been born of the flesh. That means that we have bodies and we're moving around in our dirt suit. And then now we have been born of the Spirit, so we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He no longer lives in the temple. He doesn't live in this building. This is not a temple. He doesn't live in the biggest, most beautiful cathedral. He doesn't live in those places. There's no longer temples. We are this temple that we've looked at, and he goes with us, and he gives us a spiritual gift, and he works through ways that can change the world through the spiritual gift in your life. Oh, and guess what? Your spiritual gift isn't always going to be the thing that you feel the strongest in. I can guarantee it. Why? Because so you don't take the glory for it. You don't take the credit for it. And it is clearly, look at what the Holy Spirit is doing through him or through her. Oh, may God be glorified. Seek the Spirit's work in you. So, Lord, here I am. I've been reborn. I know the Spirit is here. Reawaken that which is in me. Friends, we need that in our congregation. Next we see, have compassion on those who have yet to be born again. Man, I read that the way, it was Patrick Morley that said it, or that I read it from first, and maybe he got it from somewhere else. But we're talking about people who, the unsaved, the lost, this or that, and talked about those who have yet to be saved, or yet to be born again. Man, we get, and especially as followers of Christ, but it's a crazy world. It is crazy. There's crazy things going on there, or on this planet. There are crazy people in your neighborhood. There's crazy people that you drive around. If you want to go to the mall, you'll definitely see crazy people. There's crazy people everywhere. But guess what? God loves them. God loves them, and for us to bring any judgment against them is condemnation, and it is a bad thing. That's not a good thing, and we are to pray for them. I mean, just in the light of 2 Corinthians, of what we just read, let me get there. In verse 3, that even if our gospel is veiled, if your witness is there, your light is shining, you're being a faithful witness, It says here that it is veiled to those who are perishing. These folks are perishing. And in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What does that mean? That there is a spiritual warfare going on. This isn't just patty cake, being a follower of Christ. It is not just, oh, I feel good and I'm going to do this. It's a cultural thing because this is what grandma's done. That these people are entrapped in sin and their only hope is that the Holy Spirit would break into their life and open up their hearts to the reality of Jesus Christ and the vehicle that God has put on this earth, on this planet, to carry out that message is His church, is you, that the only Jesus that anybody may see is in your life. Friend, if we're a secret believer and our light isn't shining and people in our lives have no idea of how we about Jesus in us, friend. Oh, what are we doing? Are we condemning them to death by our own fear? Are we preaching ourselves? When you get the opportunity to talk to people, are you preaching yourselves or are you preaching Christ? We see that word, and we saw that in 4 and verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as our Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sakes." What is he talking about here? Preaching, and if you're a guest with it, if you're regular, you know every time we hit that word, I'm going to talk about it. It is not a professional pastor, shepherd, teacher's job to be the preacher. This word preach means to proclaim, to be a witness, to go and tell the truth about God in your life. And friend, when you get the opportunity to talk to people, are you preaching about yourself, whether your complaints, your wants, your desires, what's wrong in the world, what's wrong with the person next to you that you just smiled at and said hi to? Or are you preaching Jesus Christ? Sometimes, as we've mentioned before, we don't even have to use words. In your actions. I was at McDonald's the other day. At McDonald's. I was getting a tea. I haven't had a cheeseburger since that sermon we had about our health. And I'm trying to think I've had a cheeseburger. Maybe I had one. But I've lost weight. But that's another story. But I was in there, and this young lady, the week before, she was just downtrodden. I mean, you could just tell she was not happy whatsoever. She was slow. She was just having a bad time. And I just tried to encourage her, hey, you okay? And she said, man, it's just been a long day. I've been here since 5:30. Somebody didn't call in or had called in, so I'm working. And I'm just tired, and people are being mean and this or that. And I just tried to encourage her. And then I left, and then I came back the next week to get tea. I'm on this soup thing. I get soup, and then I get tea because they got the best tea. And she was a little bit brighter and things. I said, hey, you look like you're doing better than you did last week. And she mentioned how things were a little bit better, and she said something about not everybody is as nice as you. Friend, I'm not always nice. And if there's any kindness that comes from me, it is because what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And how is Jesus shining in your life? Especially when you're in traffic, especially when you're waiting in line, especially when the service is slow, especially when that person is clearly not engaged in their job and you are being held up because of it. What about the people in your neighborhood that have the grass growing in their yard or the trashy yard or whatever excuse that we can find to condemn them to hell and not share the gospel with them? Friend, are we preaching ourselves? Are you more worried about yourself or are you more worried about Jesus Christ in their life? And as Paul would say here, are you a bondservant for Jesus' sake? What does that mean? That you are saying, Lord, here I am. Lord, you know this Holy Spirit that lives in me. May your fruits of your Spirit purge me of the deeds of my flesh. May your gift that you've given me, may it be utilized for your purpose today. Lord, with the things you've asked me to do today, Lord, I really don't want to do, but may you be glorified in it. May I be strengthened through it. And Lord, forgive me when I have failed. Here's my confession. Lord, I repent. help me get up and do better next time. And if your sin has hurt somebody else, go and share with them. Please forgive me. The Word of God says this. I was disobedient, and I apologize. Will you please forgive me? That's what it's talking about. Friend, what is your life preaching? What is your life preaching? And then we see here, again, to have compassion on those who have yet to be born. Again, we've talked about pray for them. We're going to witness to them because the gospel is veiled, the preaching ourselves or Christ. But then, God, listen to this. God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, is speaking through the human proclamation of the gospel. That means that when you open up your mouth and you're fumbling the things of God and you're saying, I'm messing this up, there's a miracle that's happening in people's lives that doesn't make sense. I tell you, almost the greatest things in ministry that I've done, I'm beating myself up in my own head and in my own heart because I'm thinking, God, I really messed this up. And somebody a few weeks later will come back and say, you know, when you were talking about this and that, I was like, oh, man, God did this in my life. Why? Because it's not about us. It's not about you. Will you be faithful and preach the things of God? And I tell you again that God speaks through you. He speaks through you. And you're like, what does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that later. But I tell you, he summons people in a way that they respond to saving faith. Because it's not about you, it's not about your strength, it's not about flesh and blood, but it's about the miracle of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing through your life. If you'll just be faithful, if you're born again. The big idea as I wrap up today, it's simple. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Nowhere does Jesus say you must be a Christian. That word was even made up until after Jesus was already put in the tomb, raised up, and ascended into heaven. And it was a name that was given later on, we find in the book of Acts, Christian. But you must be born again. Friends, 73% of our nation says that they are Christians, but only 35% say that they are born again. And the question I ask you today, are you born again? You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I want to add something to the big idea. Take somebody with you.